turkey for me. Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that old strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD. Oh, white meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Pete's poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil.
All right, here we are back with another Pals podcast in the basement of Stately Peen Manor. Hello, Keen.
Hello, Spay. It's a podcast for pals, as we all know.
Yeah, podcast for pals, and today is a very special episode. They're all very special, but this one is very special because it is the Adam Sandler, They're All Gonna Laugh at You episode, and that's why we came in there with the Thanksgiving song. Some real dated references in there. I forgot how old this is.
Yeah, but luckily they replay it hundreds of times during Thanksgiving time, if you listen to the radio ever.
Yeah, you'll definitely hear some of this, and I mean, it's also timely for us now because we are just coming back from Thanksgiving, so I thought it'd be a good intro. It's definitely not one of the standout tracks on They're All Gonna Laugh at You. It came out, according to our Spotify player, in 1993. Another sponsor, potential sponsor.
Yes, Spotify. We should talk to them. Yeah. In fact, they'll probably want to talk to us.
Yeah, we'll have, I mean, maybe we'll send them an email like, you know, hello, Mr. Spotify. Have you heard about Pal's podcast? Would you like to be a pal?
Well, I'll just tweet them.
Yeah, tweet them like
on our new Twitter.
Yeah, our Twitter account, Pal's podcast.
Yes.
It's hashtag
at,
Twitter.
At Pal's podcast.
Ogle was really the guy.
Yeah, we don't have our special guest here today.
No guest. Only our intern.
Yes, Lucy.
Our intern is busy devouring a fake Santa hat, or is that a... Oh, it's a fake marmot, a stuffed marmot.
Yeah.
Just tearing it to pieces. But she's pretty much not good for much else, so we're still accepting other interns. Haven't gotten too many emails about people inquiring about college credit or anything like that. But
no, you know, mostly just fan mail.
Just lots of fan mail.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through the whole list of things for Pals Podcast, because I know, you know, it's good to get the brand out there and reiterate what we're doing. It's a podcast for pals, says it right there in the name, and you can reach us at what is it? apodcastforpals@gmail.com.
Yep.
Also,
tweet us at Pals Podcast.
Is that, yeah, it's at, yeah, it's the at sign, little A with the circle. And then podcastforpals.blogspot.com is where you can pick up the actual audio feed, or you can just search for Pals Podcast on iTunes. We got a little icon and everything.
Yeah, just look for our, Lucy the dog being attacked by Indians.
Mm-hmm. Native Americans.
Yeah, it's actually the number 5 result if you search for Pals Podcast on iTunes now, so keep building our popularity.
Yeah, so moving up in the world. And, you can also join, this is brand new, the Pals Pals, the forum for Pals listeners, palspodcast.proboards.com.
Yeah, that's a message board. It's our great online community for pals. There are quite a few discussions going on.
Yeah,
there
lively
right
debates talking about the episodes from last week, the two-parter, the snack extravaganza.
Yes.
And previous episodes, which would be the other two that we did this month.
Man, the snack extravaganza took some time to recover from that.
I was still feeling it for quite a while. There was, let's say, some smooth belches.
Quite a few.
And then there was some rude other kind of noises.
Yes. The I don't know if the listeners knew, but we actually taped that in one session, so...
Wait, you're not,
it wasn't abundantly clear.
You're letting out some trade secrets of the biz.
Yeah, but it was hard to do two episodes of eating.
Yeah, the two whole episodes.
It was a lot of nitrates.
It was a lot... Just, I mean, we didn't even get to everything. We went on our little shopping spree. I think we were a little hungover. A little bit still drunk from the night before. I know I was when we walked into 7-Eleven. And when you're a little bit drunk and you're walking to 7-Eleven...
What looks better than a taquito?
I mean, there are so many foods to eat there, even though it was the morning. But it's before you've had anything to eat. Your hangover hasn't really kicked in. And there's the rollers full of meats and cheeses and bready substances and sweet... everything is good. I mean, we...
Well, and the quality of the rollers really came out during the our reviews of it with the champion dish of the cheeseburger Big Bite with pump cheese and pump chili.
Yeah, going back over the statistics that Ogle so carefully kept in his, what was that, little mini diary?
Moleskin notebook.
Moleskin, his gurnal. He came up, you know, we did the math, we put it into it, he dropped it into an Excel spreadsheet, did some chart foo, came up with the number one rated Pals podcast approved 7-Eleven treat, the cheeseburger bite on a bun with chili and pump cheese.
Yeah, it's actually pump chili also.
Oh, pump chili.
Out of the same machine.
Everything is pumped.
Yes.
Pumped out of a machine onto your snack. Also, the chicken and a biscuit was basically tied for first. I think we all gave it the highest marks.
We all loved it.
Chicken and a biscuit, the ancient Sumerian treat, now in a box, coming to you with also sharp, easy cheese topping.
Yes. The best part of doing the easy cheese was that Ogle left it behind so that we could put it on our Thanksgiving turkey.
Thanksgiving leftovers,
yeah. We can now vouch that turkey and easy cheese sharp cheddar is a delicious combination.
One of the best that you can do with your leftovers.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to put your leftovers in?
Maybe regular cheddar easy cheese.
Maybe regular cheddar. Yeah. I'm a fan of the sharp.
I am as well.
Yeah, but that was good. And I was impressed that you stay here in Stately P Manor for Thanksgiving... the holiday.
Yes.
And you resisted the temptation to take Lucy the intern and throw her in a pot and boil her and then serve Lucy as the Thanksgiving turkey. That would have saved you however much a turkey costs. I don't know what food like that is, but I imagine a substantial savings if you already own the meal.
Well, we've been fattening her up for years, so why waste her on Thanksgiving when Christmas is just around the corner?
Oh, that's true.
What would be better than a delicious Lucy roast?
A nice Lucy roast, the centerpiece of a delicious Christmas feast.
Yes,
I agree.
A nice good apple in her mouth.
Good thinking ahead there.
Yeah.
You don't want to blow a whole Lucy that you've been sautéing and fattening and sweetening. I mean, it'd be like taking one of those Kobe beef cows that they just feed sake and rice and whatever, and then just killing them when you have, you know, a feast around the corner.
Yes.
And a special occasion.
Intern Lucy looks very excited for this possibility.
Yeah, intern Lucy is completely oblivious to everything and is just tearing into her fake marmot. But that's okay. We got everything covered, and we should probably get into the Adam Sandler so we can try to stick to some semblance of a schedule as opposed to going for 2 hours of snacking and belching.
Let's not do that for a while.
Right now, all we have are some tall, frosty, cold ones and the podcasting material and the state-of-the-art podcasting.
Yeah, we are here studio. In a state-of-the-art, the Wacky Sock Production Studios.
Yeah, I forgot. Everything is
sponsored
Wacky Sock
by a media conglomerate.
Yeah,
Wacky Sock.
That exists just to get you free magazines.
Yes.
That's my favorite part of Wacky Sock.
Well, please, we finally have our first product after being in business for 15 years.
What about all those things? Oh, I guess you didn't actually... That was a myth that you sold a bunch of VHS tapes on
eBay? Oh, no, that wasn't a myth.
eBay.
I didn't want to align those activities with our legitimate business.
That's true. Now
is anyone actually... that's watched Goodfellas or any mafia movie...
Right, yeah. You
can just mix them.
Yeah, you have to keep your streams separate. You don't want to taint your real business. That's why Tony Soprano has his underlings. They have to have clean records. Some of them, anyway.
I don't have Meyer Lansky here cleaning up our books.
Yeah, you don't have any of that. But we do have some great Adam Sandler bits coming up.
And this album meant a lot. Yeah. It means a lot. I mean, for people in our demographic, this album meant a ton.
Yeah, 93.
Circa early... Well, is it 90? Well, see, I didn't discover it till high school or so.
Oh, so you were a little bit behind.
Yeah, I was 15, 16.
I don't know why. Maybe it was from watching all the Saturday Night Lives on Comedy Central. They did a lot of replays, like, immediately around that time. So that's my first exposure. I mean, I knew of Adam Sandler. He hadn't really done anything else before then.
We were, like, 12 years old.
Yeah, well, he had a bunch of unfunny bits on Saturday Night Live.
Like, you didn't like Cuphead?
I didn't like Opera Man.
Oh, Opera Man, yeah. Opera Man was basically, like, the Thanksgiving song. I mean, it was just taking words that you know rhyme and then figuring out what to say beforehand so it reaches the end of the verse.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it was the start of his gibberish phase, because he also had Cajun Man, and what were his other
I didn't like Cajun Man, but I like the one where he said, if you want a cheap Halloween costume, just put a cup on your head, and then you'll craze a cup head.
Well, that was a good bit.
Yeah.
That was a much better bit.
Or have a spoon on my head.
Well, then why did they reuse that? They kept reusing stupid Opera Man every news.
Who knows why they do 90% of what they do on Saturday Night Live. Why don't they just let Robert Smigel write every bit?
Yeah, and have Norm MacDonald in every single one of the
bits. I mean, we're talking about a TV show that took Norm MacDonald off for not being funny enough.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, as Norm MacDonald might say, ridiculous. But no, I remember when this came out because it was right about the time where I was heavily invested in Boy Scout summer camp as a super cool 12-year-old.
Ugh, what a total goober.
Up to the Adirondacks, the Spey family and his brothers, or I and my brothers would go, and we would put on our scout gear and our little green shorts and beige tops, whatever, shirts, and we would do adventures and get merit badges and all this stuff. But the point was, there was two sets of people that went to Boy Scout camp. The people that liked it, that were in it because Boy Scouting was cool for them, and then there were the people whose parents made them. And me and my brothers were kind of in the middle of that. But for the most part, you know, our dad made us. And you know, it was fine, and we enjoyed ourselves. But there was a whole bunch of dorks. And then there was the people that are, basically, it's like pre-military school for them. Because that's where their future lies. And these are the guys, like the counselors, some of them, the cool ones, and the older scouts, who every night would, like, sneak off to wherever the shooting range or whatever is. And they would just smoke a lot of pot and just be, like, high and whatever all day, would be all strung out. But they would definitely be the coolest ones, and the ones you want to be, the ones that were listening to Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction all the time on headphones while everyone else was playing Dungeons & Dragons. And like I said, we were in the middle. I did both. Had some fun gaming sessions, and I like to rock out to some sweet-ass metal. So what happened was, I wanted to kind of like hang out with some of these cool kids, and my brothers were not these cool kids, so that's why I'm lying when I say I was in the middle. I was definitely on the nerdy side. But I brought this CD out, and I was like, yes, I like Guns N' Roses, and Nirvana came out, and they were cool, and I was, you know, I wanted to prove that. But then I was like, have you heard this shit before? And I showed it to these guys, and they played it, and they're like, now we, like, you did it. You really showed us something. And they listened to it, and I remember at one point, I'm like, I'm probably never going to get this back unless I go up to a guy and, like, demand that I get my CD back. Because I loved it so much, I wouldn't, not even to be cool and hang out with the cool guys that smoke drugs and stay up all night at Boy Scout camp, was I willing to let this go. So the end of the story is, it was Boy Scout camp, and thanks to Adam Sandler, I could say I really did it because of that. So great story, huh?
Yeah, so after that, was your camp experience totally different? You didn't play Dungeons & Dragons anymore?
Hell no, I totally played a shitload of Dungeons & Dragons, and almost got kicked out because I lit some guy's hat on fire, because there wasn't much else to do except light stuff on fire and sharpen twigs with your pocket knife that you were allowed to have.
Yeah, so in the end, it really helped bring people together, it sounds like.
Well, it did. It bridged the gap between dorks with senses of humor and pot-smoking rebels who didn't give a shit about Boy Scout camp.
I don't have any good stories about this album, other than that,
You can't come up with something better than that? That's really pathetic.
I left it in my car once, like, in the cassette player, because I had it on tape.
Oh, you had it on tape?
Yeah. I left it in the cassette player. My dad had to move my car, so he just backed it out, and it was on, I think it was on at a medium pace, which is, we'll get to it later, but it's very vulgar. And all I remember is he came into the house and he said, oh, I heard your album. I thought you had better taste than that. And then walked away.
Yeah. Little did he know that, like, that was just scratching the surface of what your taste was. Why would he think you have better taste than
that? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. But yeah, I remember just thinking that I was alone and just doing some of these bits aloud to myself. And I think we were, like, on vacation maybe, and my dad was like, you need to shut up or something, like, we're in the room over here or something. So it's good. There's also a lot of cursing. This will easily be the dirtiest, most R-rated podcast merely for the Adam Sandler.
Yes. Don't blame us, though. Blame Adam Sandler.
Yeah, which is funny because Adam Sandler is now known as like the PG-13, like
even less PG.
Yeah, PG. Like, don't mess with the Zohan and lots of movies that Bedtime Stories.
We could talk for a long time about how awful Adam Sandler is now. But
it's almost like a cliche. We'd rather
just remember him when he was funny. Mm-hmm. Which apparently was 1993 or so.
Yeah, right on the cutting edge. Yeah. So let's go. So every track here is great. There's some that aren't as great as the others, but they're pretty much all winners. But we're going to start off with probably one of the best. It's the second track. The first one's really good. It's kind of dirty. The second one is really right there.
Belch. Number one.
Number one of the day or the evening. Kind of broke up the flow a little bit.
Now
we got to double it up. Yeah, that wasn't the part. That did the opposite of what the smooth belch was originally supposed to do.
Very much so.
But that's okay, because there's still nice smooth belches. So anyway, the second track just really just set off. It was in your face. It was going to tell you that what you were used to listening to, like maybe even the Jerky Boys, they were big around then. Like a good tape to listen to.
Yeah, that was really big. Big enough for them to get a movie out of it.
Right, a terrible movie that I saw in the theaters.
Yeah.
But this track just blows it all away, and to get your hands on it back at the time, you know, the parental advisory explicit lyric label was well-earned, I feel like. So here it is. It's called The Buffoon and the Dean of Admissions.
And now, a buffoon's meeting with the Dean of Admissions at a prestigious college.
Well, Michael, I'd like to extend my warmest congratulations on your upcoming graduation, and I understand you're interested in matriculating here in the fall.
I got a snake, man!
Yes. Pets are welcome here on campus, be it the traditional dog or cat, or even the occasional reptile.
One time I fed it some beer, man. It was slivering this way and that. It was all fucked up.
I'm sure it was. Well, we discourage inappropriate drinking among both students and pets here on campus.
Fucking shit!
Yes, that's a not uncommon reaction to this policy. So tell me a little bit more about your background.
My father's a fucking asshole, man!
I see. Your feelings of rebellion are not unusual at your age, son.
My mother's a piece of shit, too!
Well, I hope you can find an outlet for your hostility over the summer, so you can come to school in the fall relaxed and ready to learn.
My teacher in high school was a stupid bitch, man! She had her head way up her ass!
Well, the quality of the faculty at a university such as ours far exceeds that of a local public high school.
Your secretary's a real fat bitch, man!
Yes, she's tried many diets over the years with minimal success.
I had diarrhea last month! I had to shit all fucking day!
Uh-huh. Well, we all get the occasional stomach bug. Never a pleasurable experience. So, have you given any thought to your choice of major?
I've got a big fucking boner right now!
I see. Well, sexual arousal is not uncommon during periods of nervous tension. I do not take offense.
One time I ate my neighbor's shit!
That's understandable. Well, I enjoyed meeting you, and we'll be sending you our decision by the end of the month.
I bet you got really hairy balls!
Yes, it's a veritable forest down there. Bye-bye.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's going to be tough not to just bust up laughing in the middle of these, especially after we've had some adult beverages. It's Friday night here at Stately Peen Manor.
Yes.
I don't know where it is, where you listeners are. It could be the weekend. It could be your morning commute on a terrible Monday. Or it could be thousands of years in the future when we're all long dead and you're a robot that pulled this off the internet to catalog it in the future. All those are distinct possibilities for our potential audience right now.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, we're putting this on the internet.
So. Well, I mean, especially with our huge online community, this is going to live on forever.
The robots will probably find it on Pals Pals, the forum board.
Oh, yes, you mean the online community for Pals?
Of course.
Yes. So, I mean, that was a good one. You let me know, and I never realized it, that the Dean of Admissions is Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, it's true. Conan, this is back in 93, so everybody that's... You know, now had nice long careers, and a lot of people, I think, whose careers solely exist as being like in Adam Sandler's troupe. You know,
right, yeah. Star Rob Schneider movies. Plays a bunch of parts in this album.
But even Snyder had, his movies are obviously crap, but he's had a career. I mean, he was in stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's had a great career.
It's people who know it, but I mean, there's people on there who, like, you would never know what their names are, or yeah. Most people don't, but then you realize they're in every single, from, like, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison on, they're in, like, every...
Yeah, once they get into the whole Happy Madison
production company, yeah,
production group, like they're there for life, pretty much.
Yeah,
so we're stuck with Rob Schneider.
Yeah, he'll never go away because I don't think Adam Sandler.
The only thing keeping Spade on the job also.
Spade, yeah, but I like Spade. I mean,
I like Spade.
He had some other stuff. PCU, yeah,
most of the things. Well, that would be a great episode also.
PCU. Oh yeah, PCU.
Yeah.
Two things I wanted to point out about that last skit, the buffoon. One is, did you get the subtle dig that Conan O'Brien did about how you don't have that kind of faculty at a public high school?
Yeah.
as two graduates of public high school, I think we can all appreciate that dig, right?
Well, yes, but then we all matriculated at a fine institution.
Yeah, a nice 4-year private college.
Yes.
And also, the way the buffoon, I mean, the way, no one has any idea the buffoon's coming the first time you listen to it, which is why it's such an awesome kick in the balls of how funny and dirty it is, but it's the little things, like the way he says, instead of slithering, he says slivering, like with the V in there, and instead of saying diarrhea, he says diarrhea. It's those little bits that I think...
Is the buffoon Hispanic?
No, I don't know what, it's an unknown provenance.
Some kind of nationality.
Something. He's like when you hear a TV show or somebody wants an ethnicity, but they don't want to offend,
they have
community.
The generic ethnic.
Like, who was the guy Andy Kaufman was for a while, whatever?
Oh, yeah.
He was just a random ethnic guy, even though he's completely white. He just talked in a weird accent.
Yeah, foreign guy or
I want to say Balki Bartakamov, but just because we covered that earlier.
Well, Balki is an example also.
Yeah, they made it up.
They made it up, but he could have easily just been a miscellaneous foreign.
Yeah, like a sweaty, hairy Greek man.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Mm. Well, the next one's a favorite of mine, and I'll set it up by just saying I once put this track on a CD mix that I made from MP3s. And it was like normal music, and I just played it in my car. And this was just one of the tracks that I threw in there. And I was driving around I was just giving a ride to an attractive girl. This is a while ago. I don't think it was like coworker or something. And this song just randomly came on, and I kind of forgot that it was coming. And it came on, and I'm like, oh, great, this is one of my favorite bits. I didn't really like think the whole process through. So this track came on, and then I was cracking up the whole time. And then when it was over, I turned to the passenger that I was giving a ride to, and she just kind of looked at me, and I was like, this is pretty good, huh? Like, Adam Sandler, you ever listen to that? And it's like, no, I've never listened to this Adam Sandler bit. Like, they obviously knew who Adam Sandler was, but didn't have the same experience with the CD.
Were you trying to impress this lucky lady?
I mean, I wouldn't mind impressing them. It wasn't like I was taking somebody on a date. It wasn't that embarrassing. I think if that happened, I would have, planned the CD a little better, or at least been cognizant of... I just probably would have pushed next. This was kind of just like, oh, hot chick in the car, check this out. Like, thinking that everyone would appreciate some humorous track.
So did it work? Did you take her to the Boneyard?
No, there were no... we didn't go on the off-ramp to Pound Town. What I did is dropped her off, and I don't think I gave her a ride again.
Oh, well, that's fine, because you got to listen to this track.
Yeah, but then I did get another extra listen.
Worthwhile.
Another listen of this track, so let's get right into it.
Hey, man, let me in there first.
Go ahead, man, take it easy.
Thanks, I really got to pee.
Oh.
man.
Hey, man. You pissed in your pants.
I know.
So did I.
I guess that makes us piss pals.
So you can see why that wouldn't be maybe the biggest hit with, you know, a young female professional.
Yeah, how did that not work?
Well, I'm remembering now, the best part was when, you know, the best part of the skit is where he goes, oh, there you go, and then lets out a nice smooth, and then the stream is back on harder than ever.
When we were talking about Weird Al a few weeks ago, I think off the show we were discussing how Weird Al used to just use a lot of fart noises as musical instruments.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Right in this era of when farts, I feel like farts had more comedy value back then.
Yeah, which is a shame because I think it's a universal axiom. Yeah. Like farts equal laughs.
Yeah, of course. It's one of the universal laws of comedy, but I feel like people are getting desensitized to it. Yeah.
Should like, never happen.
They keep pushing the limits of toilet humor, so
right.
A simple fart is no longer...
Right, now in South Park, I mean, still a good show, still a great show, but like they have to... coat someone in actual poop coming out of an ass.
The human centipede one?
Yeah, or all of them, like, yeah.
Well, if you think back to Terrence and Phillip, it used to just be farts.
Right.
And now there's way more to it.
Yeah, what did the Iranian gynecologist say to the Spanish priest? You know, those types of jokes are getting lost now for the, now there's going to be an actual poop in your mouth.
Maybe we're just getting old, but just a simple fart. I don't know if the kids these days understand it.
Yeah, nice well timed, or yeah, even going further back than this, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
I mean that doesn't get old. I watched that on YouTube.
Well, and obviously, Weird Al's girls just want to have lunch. Yeah. There's nothing better than the fart.
Yeah, the little interlude,
the bridge.
Yeah, and now a synthesizer solo where I've put in the programmed it to only make fart sounds. That's an impressive bit of digital music technology back in the 80s as well.
Yeah. And then on Longest Pee, you get a good chuckle out of the first fart, and then the second one just catches you off guard.
And I always like that he zips up and immediately pees himself. just lets loose right there, and then he's pissed. That was Rob Schneider, speaking of Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
His piss pal.
He's in a few,
Schneider.
Right?
Oh, he's in a bunch of these. I'm sure we'll hear him again. But... So let's go right to the next one. Try to get a few more in so we don't go too long. Mom!
Oh, I believe this is a good one.
Yes, a good one from whence the title of this album came.
Can you pass the beats, please?
Here you go.
Thanks.
Hey, Mom. Guess what? I got invited to a party tonight, and I'm going to go if that's okay with you.
No!
Why not, Mom?
Yeah, why, Mom? You should go.
It's going to be fun. I'll get to meet new people.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Oh, Mom.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Don't worry, Brad.
Hey, Mom, I saw this great skirt at the mall today, but it was $34, which isn't that high of a price, but I was nervous to buy it. What do you think?
No!
Really? I really like
They're
it.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Oh, Mom, who is?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Mom, you're so paranoid.
No!
Hey, Mom, I gotta get up pretty early tomorrow for Little League tryouts.
No!
Yeah, I have to be at the field at 9 o'clock.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Do you think you could drop me off?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
How am I gonna get there?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
I'll walk, I guess.
No!
Mom, can you pass the salad dressing?
No!
Please?
No!
Come on, Mom.
No!
I'll get it for you, Cindy.
Thanks, Brad.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Thanks for the tip, Mom.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Hey, everyone. Let's just go out for ice cream.
No!
Why are we eating inside? It's a beautiful night. We need to get out more.
No!
Mother Brad is right.
No!
We should go out. It'll be fun.
No!
Yes, come on. Let's go. I could go for some maple walnuts.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Yeah, we haven't gone out together in a long time.
No!
You wanna come, Dave?
No! I'll hang
out with Mom. You sure?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Yeah, go though.
All right, see you guys later.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
How are you, Mom? Great meal tonight. Sure is. You sure know how to cook. Boy, oh boy, you're quite a lady. Say, Mom, can I go canoeing next weekend with my friend Barry?
No!
Please?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Mom, you're overreacting.
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Why are you so over?
They're all gonna laugh at you!
Mom, I'm going to the ice cream place. You're just so set in your ways, it drives me crazy.
They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at him!
Yeah, and I'm much of an ending to that, but...
very abrupt.
Looking back on it, it was a nice bit of experimental kind of, like, theater type of deal, where it's just like a conversation. But the Sandler character is just like a soundboard, like a button.
Yeah, I still laugh at it.
Yeah, it's still, and it's like one of the almost, it's like the epitome of the running gag. Like the running bit. Like it's come back to those, like just those two phrases, you know, no, and they're all laughing, just over and over. But you just use them so much, and he's screaming them in a ridiculous woman's voice.
It's awesome.
Yeah, can't get enough. I would do that a lot. I don't know if you, when you first heard it, if you would ever... just do that to people, like if they would actually when they would try to have a conversation with you, like at the lunch table in middle school, and you would just say like, you know, no, or they're all gonna laugh at you or whatever. And if they were in on the bit, then they would like kind of humor you for a while, and then kind of be like, no, I'm serious, like stop doing that. I want to know if you know you can do this, and you just keep doing it anyway. And then they get annoyed, or if they have no idea what the bit is about, and they just think you're retarded, like
a total jerk.
Yeah, just like really dumb.
Yeah.
That's why I had so many friends in middle school.
Yeah, but if you didn't listen to this album, then you were dumb.
I agree. I mean, it really gave you, like, it was like a litmus test, like, if you were worth hanging out with in middle school.
Yeah, totally.
Or high school.
If you didn't listen to this album,
yeah,
you didn't enjoy it. Like, the exposure rate of people our age must be, like, 75% of males.
Yeah. Like, if I would look at somebody weird if he had never heard any parts of this album.
I'd punch them right in the stomach.
And you'd be perfectly justified, too.
Agreed.
There'd be no reason not to punch that person in the stomach. Absolutely. All right, well, those all were a little bit long, so let's go to a shorter one. There was a few of these. We're going to get to, like, one-third of this album. But this is the beating of a high school Spanish teacher, which is exactly what it sounds like. And they put in, like, three or four of these, just, like, little 30 seconds... interspersed.
Yeah, just to break it up. Yeah, but, this one's probably the best one.
Yeah, we went right to the best, even though it shows up kind of later in the album. But.
And now, the severe beating of a high school Spanish teacher.
Juan es muy guapo. Hola, señor. ¿Hay problema? Mi casa, su casa.
That was the whole bit.
Very simple. Very good.
And the greatest part about it is, you know, there's all these bits, and they're mostly about, like, dirty humor and jokes and farting and peeing and a buffoon saying, you know, he's got a huge fucking boner right now. And then they just brutalize a Spanish teacher. They never have a reason for it.
If I ever got beaten, though, I would just yell library.
Biblioteca. Yeah, and also she teaches high school Spanish, but even when she's getting beaten, she doesn't say anything in English. So she's clearly a native Spanish speaker.
Oh, well, all my Spanish teachers were like that.
Really? Yeah. I had Senora Friedman, so she wasn't...
I had Senora Mendoza.
Well, yeah, you were close to the Spanish-speaking
land. Senora Figueroa.
Figueroa. Yeah, that was Senora Friedman and Senora Lappin, I think. Either way, they were definitely white ladies, not native Spanish speakers. But I like how we never, in this one and any of the other ones where it's somebody gets severely beaten, like they announced in the beginning, you never learn the motive. There's no, you don't know if the people getting beaten were bad. Oh, well, okay, remember at the very end of the thing, we're not going to play it, but there's some disclaimer where they go, everyone who got beaten is it like a pedophile or something.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, but Spanish teacher shouldn't have been diddling. Yeah. Shouldn't have been pulling a Sandusky.
Yeah, clearly now they would just say these people are Sandusky, so everybody would not feel bad about it. But basically, when you listen to it the first time, I think the best part about it is you don't know what the motive is, and you don't know why these people deserve to get beaten, if they deserve to get beaten, but you laugh along just the same, even though you can hear the bones crunching in their face as they get, like, probably lead pipes to the face. I think that's how it was.
Yeah, man, I wish I could go through and get, like, the sheer pleasure that you got from listening to this album the first time.
Oh, yeah, it's like a 12,
like, you don't know what any of the bits are. Like, I listened to it on tape, too. Like, someone bootlegged it and copied it for me.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't have a track list or anything. You're just listening to the 22 tracks straight through.
The first time really is, like, a magical... Yeah. Like, even the first couple times, like, it doesn't even set in the first time.
Right, yeah, I didn't like Fatty McGee or It's the First Time or...
Right, but then you listen to the thing literally, like, nonstop for, like, a year.
Yeah, I would lie in bed, and I'd have to keep it low enough that no one knew I was listening to it.
Right, yeah. You didn't have headphones.
But... Yeah, and I would just be laughing. Just laughing in bed alone.
That'd be a good title to your own first album, Laughing in Bed Alone.
That's a good title for this episode, actually.
Yeah, yeah. All right, babe, make sure we not put that down. And then... Oh, speaking of Fatty McGee, let's go into Fatty McGee. It's a little bit longer one, but...
Another great one with Spade.
Yeah, it's worth it. I agree.
This Murphy's such a pain, man.
We just had a test a week ago. Now we gotta take another one tomorrow? This sucks.
And it counts for 80% of our grade.
Well, we better study our butts off.
Well, we came to the right place, the ever-so-quiet library.
Okay, enough talking. Let's study.
Right.
Oh, no. Fatty McGee is coming. We'll never get any studying done with him in the library.
Oh, God, he's taking the stairs. That means he's going to be way out of breath.
Oh, no, he's going to sit with us.
Hey, fellas. Studying for the big test?
Yes, Fatty, we were.
Great, I'll join you.
Hey, Fatty, why don't you go to the bathroom so you catch your breath?
No, I'm catching it.
But try to keep the wheezing level down. We gotta concentrate.
Sure, no problem.
Oh, man.
This test accounts for 80% of our grade, you know.
Yes, Fatty, we know. We just said that. Fatty, please keep it down. Sleeping?
No, it's his deviated septum. Seriously, Fatty, keep the breathing down.
Oh, jeez, Fatty, come on, what's wrong with you?
I'm trying.
Fatty, you know what's gonna happen. Stop breathing so heavy. Please, we gotta study.
Oh no, that one's gonna do it. Fatty, the fire department thinks the fire alarm went off again.
Get to like the buffoon talking about like jizz or whatever, but then he gets to the end and then has the perfect moment where he goes, "I like the stairs,
they're fun."
and then they name him Fireman Ray. I just picked that up just now. But Fireman Ray says, "Oh, Fatty McGee, you're the fattest." Everybody laughs. I mean, it's the two best things ever about like stairs or fat people. Like, those two lines. Every time I'm like on the stairs, that you know pretty much goes in my head. Like every time of my life that I touch a stair, I'm like, oh, I like the stairs, they're fun. And then any fat person is, oh, they're the fattest. And then that line from there comes up.
Yeah.
So pretty much like 10 times a day, this bit goes through my head, this clip.
Especially back in the days when you used to live with Schmavid Bleigel. Yeah. I would have thought that all the time.
And he lived up a flight of
stairs. Yeah, whenever he would go up to the igloo. I can just imagine him being like... The stairs, they're fun!
And the whole thing gets set off when he goes, great, I'll join you! And then everybody's all unhappy. Oh man, we're just having a great time.
I don't know why I think Spade... It's not a funny line, but it's like, Enough talking. Let's study. But I know it's David Spade.
Yeah, you can just picture him saying the line.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, also, who's the... I can't think of his name, even though he's great in The Ladies' Man.
Oh, Tim...
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows.
Yeah, all I can think of is Tracy Morgan, because I've been poisoned by... Well, not poisoned. Tracy Morgan's great, but he's
Tim
in
Meadows.
TV show.
Tim Meadows
often,
is
but,
better.
I know, but Tim Meadows isn't in anything anymore, but Tracy Morgan is.
Tim Meadows is. He was in Mean Girls. He was in...
Which was like 8 years ago.
Dewey Cox.
Right, yeah. You Walk don't want this, Dewey. It turns all your bad feelings into good.
He was the best part of Dewey Cox.
It really was.
Well, Tim Meadows is just specializing in these, like... awesome bit
yeah.
roles.
You think he can make a living just showing up in like a random movie with Saturday Night Live alums like every
yeah, totally.
2 years?
I mean, he is.
Right, I guess so. But I mean, you don't know.
He's living off his fat ladies' man money.
I mean, he should. That movie was great.
That would be a great episode. Also.
I see your hobbies here are tennis and dabbit. That's the butt. All right, so the... So let's go on another, a little bit longer one, but this is pretty much the most famous one from this album. Well, I think the most quoted
well, other than the Thanksgiving song, yeah, this is probably the most quoted, I mean, most well-known. Mostly because it makes fun of people from Boston, which is the best, well, not the best part, but it's definitely an advantage to it.
The worst accent in America. I mean, like, objectively, I'm not saying that.
Let's just go ahead and say the worst people in America.
Yeah, you could, I mean, yeah, like, in aggregate. You don't want to single people out that may happen to be from there that aren't terrible people, but overall...
I've never met one. Have you?
Yeah, well, yeah. From Boston, there's not all terrible people.
I've never met one.
Well, you're just a... You've just met some people that are bad then. Anyway, it's Toll Booth Willie, and it got probably most quoted, I think.
Definitely.
Except at least the funny one. Thanksgiving song is not so much funny. It's just goofy Adam Sandler. But anyway, $1.25.
Welcome to Worcester. $1.25, please.
Hey, how you doing, Toll Booth Willie?
Good. Thanks for asking, Pop.
Oh, that's great. You know, considering you're a fucking idiot.
Go fuck yourself, you son of a bitch. I'll come right out of the booth and fucking whack you, you fucking prick.
Hey, Willie, how's it going?
Hey, can't complain, Pop. How's by you?
Oh, great, great. How much?
The state charges $1.25, Pop.
That's fine. Now, should I give you the money, or should I shove the quarters directly up your fat ass?
Why, you fucking hat on! I'll fucking count and fist your fucking head with a Louisville fucking slugger! What do you think of that ass, fuck?
Hi, Willie.
Oh, nice to see you, man. Not a bad day, huh?
Well, I'm a little lost. Could you help me out? I hear you're the best with directions.
Well, I know my way around New England, I can tell you that much. So where you headed?
Well, I was just wondering exactly which is the best way to drive up your ass. You know, if you'd tell me, I'd appreciate it, you fucking prick.
You fucking bitch, fuck you! You forgot to pay the fucking toll, you dirty whore! I'll fucking drop you with a boot to the fucking skull, you cum-guzzling queen!
Hey, Willie.
Hey, how are you?
Here's $1.25, and go fuck yourself.
Die, you fucking prick! I hope you choke on a fucking portal cap, you fucking son of a fuck! Eat shit! Eat my shit!
Hello, Willie. Good to see you.
Ah, Bishop Nelson. Nice to see you. That was quite a sermon you had the other day.
Hey, well, I do my best.
It's $1.25, Bishop.
$1.25, Willie? Isn't that the same price your mother charges for a blowjob, you piece of dog shit?
Oh, have another one, you fucking lush! It's not my fault the bartender cut you off last night, you fucking douchebag!
Hey! Well, hey! Yeah, do you want the money, or should I just shove the quarters directly up your fat ass?
Well, I already heard that one, you fucking unoriginal bastard! Go suck a cock, you piece of fucking repeating shit!
Hi.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How much is the toll, please?
For you, sweetheart, it's $1.25.
Here you go. Thank you.
Hey, hey, honey! Would you like a receipt with that?
Oh, I almost forgot. Thank you so much.
And here you are.
Do you think you could sign it?
Sign it?
Yeah, sign. Toll Booth Willie was here.
Okay, sure. By the way, what is this for?
Just so I can have proof for my friends that I met the biggest fucking dipshit with the smallest dick alive. You understand?
Fuck you, you fucking uppity bitch! I'll fucking fuck you and all your lesbian fish-eating friends in front of your fucking mothers! You're gonna die, bitch! I'm coming out of the booth! Oh, my fucking leg!
Hey, you ran over Tollbooth Willie.
Oh, my God. I was always wondering what it would be like to run over a dried-up, stinky dick licker.
Are you fucking crazy? I fucking hear every fucking word you're saying. When this fucking leg heals, I'm gonna kick you guys new fucking arseholes.
Fuck you, you motherfuckers! I swear, when this fucking heals, I'll see you at the hospital! Come to the hospital!
That's good. It's just fading out to so much cursing. Who's cursing at each other? I mean, I like a total dork, I took some notes while that was going on about the best lines. There's a reason why it's like the most quoted and repeated.
Well, clearly the best one is, I'm coming out of the booth.
I'm coming out of the booth. Yeah, every time, like literally every time you go from one room to another, you can use that. Like, but you're asking to say, you're going to die, bitch. I'm coming out of the booth. And it, like that last part with the girl too is great because Tollbooth Willie, you know, every time he's like, oh, he's not gonna get away with this one without getting cursed at, and you know, the whole bit keeps replaying. And then the last one, it could have ended so many times with him just getting like a hot chick to give him, you know, a woman that sounds pleasant. I guess we don't see if she's hot, but she gives him the change, and she's about to drive off, and he Tollbooth Willie stops her. I mean, he could have gotten that up. No, don't you want a receipt? And that stops her. And she's like, great, sign a Tollbooth Willie. And he goes, okay. And then he could have gotten off again, thinking he just had to give his autograph. But no, he goes, well, what's this for? And then she calls him the biggest prick alive with the smallest dick or whatever. Yeah. And just get, you know.
He blew it. Blew it twice.
And then he get wound up again just because somebody, you know, just gave her.
Do you think he's just exhausted at the end of the day?
I think, you know, he probably enjoys it so much, like on a deep psychological level.
I love it.
Yeah, just cursing at people all day. But then there's, I mean, all the other ones, like, so Carlton Fisk, your head.
I never actually understood what that meant.
Yeah, that was, like, I'm pretty sure.
I always thought he said count and fist.
Yeah, that's.
Which didn't make any sense.
It was probably, yeah, I remember not knowing exactly what that was, but now when I'm thinking about it, remember the bit in Inglourious Basterds where they go, like, the Teddy Boston or whatever they got that took the baseball bat and beat his head in? He's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to Carlton Fisk your head. Either that's, like, a phrase from Boston that predates 93. I mean, Carlton Fisk is older than that.
73?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that predates, no, he doesn't Carlton Fisk, he doesn't say that. It's impossible because that's World War II.
Yeah.
I blew it. I thought I discovered some.
Oh, yeah, I thought you discovered some Tarantino.
That was a fan of Adam Sandler, but no, he takes a Louisville Slugger. But, I mean, maybe it was a little bit. He was Boston and he took a Louisville Slugger. So take out the Carlton Fisk.
Stop trying
part.
To rescue it.
You're right. Yeah. All right, totally so I blew that part. But some of the other good bits were.
Bishop Nelson.
Yeah, well, what is it? A son of a fuck? He calls that one out, and he says, eat shit, eat my shit, which is always great, because first he just says, eat any kind of shit, and then he says, like, no, specifically, though, the shit that you should eat, it needs to be my shit, it can't just be any shit. And then I learned the word lush. I didn't know what lush was.
Oh, you never heard lush before?
Not before this. Not when I was 13. I didn't know what a lush was.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So then I used context clues. So he just had another one. Not my fault the bartender cut you off. I knew what that meant. So I was like, lush is a guy that drinks too much. So it was great to finally become one after I learned that. And then the piece of fucking repeating shit. I don't know if you ever took like an English class or maybe if you would have majored in the journalism school instead of the commerce school at our fine institution of higher learning, you would have learned that redundancies are like the worst thing anyone could do. It's like a crime against humanity to be redundant. And I always wish our professors would drill it into our head by saying, I already heard that one, you unoriginal bastard, and then call us all pieces of fucking repeating shit.
This could be a real revolution in learning.
Yeah, I mean, every copy editor that worked for any newspaper worth their salt should really use this bit to teach people not to use redundancies. And not use that dumb joke about, like, oh, you'll get a warning from the Department of Redundancy or Department.
Ugh, that's hack.
Of course it's hack. The professors at WNL used to use it. Terrible.
Ugh.
Nobody liked those Well, some of them. Not the ones that use that bit.
So what's that? Is that our last one?
We got one more and then the outro. course, we're running a little bit longer, but we can finish it up still in an hour. But the second buffoon.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's always, I mean...
Wouldn't want to hear that.
Yeah, and the other thing is we're not going to play the ones that do it, but the buffoon shows up in two others just, like, kind of randomly. You're not expecting it. It's like a little bonus treat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. And if you listen to the other Adam Sandler albums, they've got other repeating bits that show up throughout the album.
Mm-hmm. The Excited Southerner.
Yeah, Excited Southerner is basically the water boy. It's, mm-hmm. it's okay. It's
but not as good.
Funny.
It's not Bobby Boucher. Ain't no son of mine gonna play no foosball. Yeah, it's not as good as the buffoon, though.
Yeah, buffoon... The thing is with Adam Sandler, he set such a high bar with his first album that mm-hmm. a lot of people... I mean, the second album has some standouts.
Yeah, definitely Do It For Mama.
Maybe, The Goat.
The Goat. But best
but then the third one, I don't think anyone listened to except me, and I only like one of them. And then there's actually a fourth and fifth one, I think.
Yeah, there's more.
I never actually sat down and listened. I probably should listen to him at some point.
At that point, he was way too deep into his Hollywood money. I mean, he was making $20 million to do a movie.
Yeah, and he couldn't threaten being the family...
Right, his money comes from literally kid people taking their 12-year-olds.
Yeah, he's to like movies. A Sony contract man now. So
yeah, so it's too bad. All right, so I'll put it on the line right now. Here's the question: best thing he ever did?
The album?
Yeah, like anything Adam Sandler ever did. Best thing?
I don't know. Billy Madison is close.
I was gonna say Billy Madison is yeah.
It's between Billy Madison and this.
Yeah, I think Norm MacDonald might push Billy Madison over the top.
Yeah, that and the shampoo and conditioner song. Of course, yeah. Billy Madison.
And then the swan that keeps looking at him.
Don't forget the penguin. There's so many good things with Billy Madison.
Oh, yeah, Fairly. And then the treat for the road.
Just isolating the whole game show thing at the end of it.
It was like
maybe the best 5 minutes of comedy.
All the little Easter eggs. Like, that was before DVDs, so like all the little squares in the game show. Like, you would have to really watch the one, you know, like, My Wife is a Tramp and Dirty, Dirty Whores. You know, all the ones that showed up as the different categories that they could pick.
For the eagle eyes. It really
rewards. Like, if you paid really close attention to that, but if you saw it in the theater, like, no one would get those bits, but the fact that they put them in there.
Yeah. It's also Steve Buscemi's best role.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi.
I mean, Boardwalk Empire is really good, but Steve Buscemi waving after he shoots the guy.
I have yet to see Steve Buscemi lean back and put lipstick on his mouth after crossing out a list of people to kill. So, I agree. So maybe Billy Madison. I think I got to agree with you on that one. But this is close.
Although, I mean, if we were to count the guffaws that we had, they're all going to laugh at you. It's probably the funniest still, because I still laugh at it. I still laugh at Billy Madison, but I probably get 3 or 4 good laughs out of Billy Madison after seeing it 20 times.
Right.
But
when the kid sits on the water sprinkler, and he's so happy because water's shooting up his butt.
Yeah, there's so many, the flaming bag of poop.
Well, yeah, when the old man calls his shit poop. That never gets old. Yeah, and then the line where he says, "All right, boys, night out." just the state of mind is in there. All right, we could get lost on a Madison tangent forever.
Yeah. Look, Chris Farley driving the bus.
Yeah, great.
Talking about Veronica Vaughn.
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, well, then he eats the banana. Just to set up a bit where the O'Doyles fly off the fucking cliff. So they come up with a scene where just eating a banana is a great treat for the road. Only so we could throw a banana off the side. And so Billy could set him up by saying, "Oh, Doyles, I got a feeling your whole family's going down in a big way."
Well, we were talking about it last on the Snacktacular, too. Well, that doesn't put a delicious Triscuit in my stomach now, does it?
Carl, yeah, of course. And every time you eat a Triscuit, you gotta go back to that? Oh, man.
Actually, now I'm not sure. Billy Madison might have been funnier.
Yeah, I think that's what
I was torn between number and last, but we might want to do a Billy Madison episode.
Yeah,
also.
I think, yeah, and an additional Billy Madison one. I can't believe the pinhead at the Onion AV Club reviewed Billy Madison when it came out on DVD and gave it a C.
What?
Yes. You can go go look it up.
That actually reminds me, you were looking that stuff up on some haughty, stupid
Vulture,
New York writer.
Vulture blog.
Clearly some dumb freelance writer that, try to get some page views, but he went back and said,
clearly
that now that Adam Sandler's kind of played out and sucks and doesn't do anything funny.
Yeah.
And
why did he get so popular in the first place that he could continue to make pieces of shit movies that he could still do that forever, basically?
Yeah. So he went back and listened to the album to see if it still held up.
Yeah.
I don't know what he called it, what, infantile or something dumb?
Yeah, it was basically like, oh, it's all the same, like, they're all gonna laugh at you. That he's like, oh, it's just the same joke over and over again. Like, that doesn't make it less, yeah. Like, that's, of course, it's more funny that way when he...
Yeah, if you've got something good, then you run with it. I mean, the farts are great.
And then the longest pee, oh yeah, he hated the longest pee, and I wanted to reach through my computer monitor and punch the person who wrote it in the face.
Like, in 1993, when this came out, also, it was great because of how much profanity is in this.
Right, I mean, this is...
Profanity actually wasn't as widespread back then, I feel like.
No, not at all.
It's really,
like, Mr. Show on HBO was the only TV comedy that you could watch where they used jokes, besides the seeing stand-ups live. It's probably why stand-ups were so popular back then. But, like, you couldn't go watch TV and see someone, like, use cursing or whatever. There was no Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they at least can say shit or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't like where you could watch TV and after 10 p.m. they're allowed to curse. So, like,
yeah.
You know, South Park, it's common now. And, you know,
right.
Sons of Anarchy, all these shows that come on after 10.
You couldn't stay up late at night. The only thing you could do was watch HBO late at night, which was, like... ridiculous. What were they doing? Like real sex?
Well, the Keens didn't splurge for any pay channels.
Well, right so. Around there, I think the Spays decided it was time to upgrade their TV package. I watched a lot of Oz way before I should have.
Oh well, how privileged!
Yeah, that was great. I love watching prison murders and
prison
rapes.
Well, and that's why Toll Booth Willie was so awesome, and it's still awesome, but. The level of, if we were to count, we should have counted it with a tally, the number of profanities.
Oh, yeah.
It was just awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why listening to it as a junior high / early high school kid was so great.
Right. And awesome in the literal sense. Like,
yeah.
You were awed
yeah.
by what was coming out of the speakers, whatever you were listening. I mean, it was amazing. All right. Well, in that vein...
Let's get to the buffoon.
Yeah, the second buffoon.
Speaking
which is
of profanity.
Pretty much as good as the first.
And now the buffoon's date at the drive-in with the school's valedictorian.
I really appreciate your asking me out. Most people are intimidated by my high academic achievement.
This movie sucks shit!
Well, Ebert gave it thumbs up, but Siskel thought it was too preachy. Anyway, I enjoyed the director's last film immensely.
Kathleen Turner has big fucking tits!
Yes, well, she recently had a child. I think her maternal biology may play a role in that. She looks fabulous for a woman her age, doesn't she?
I put a firecracker in a bullfrog's mouth and blew his fucking head off!
Well, in psychology we learn that it's not uncommon for male adolescents to commit savage acts on animals as part of their maturing process.
That girl in the fucking car in front of us, she gives everybody head!
Well, I guess she's starved for attention and she feels promiscuity is the only way to obtain it.
These popcorn's fucking terrible! It tastes like someone jizzed all over it.
Well, the thought of semen on this popcorn is certainly disturbing. Perhaps the staff in the refreshment stand was overcome by the monotony of their work and decided to play a childish prank.
I looked at my asshole in the mirror today. It blew my fucking mind.
It's ironic that parts of one's own body can seem odd and unusual because you don't see them on a day-to-day basis.
My father's shit stinks up the bathroom all fucking day!
It's puzzling why one person's fecal odor can be more overpowering than another's. I wonder whether it is a function of the food digested or that person's internal metabolism.
I'm gonna go get head from that fucking girl!
While I'm sorry to see the date come to such an abrupt conclusion, I do appreciate the time you've spent with me and look forward to a future rendezvous.
I like to piss in that guy's fucking gas tank!
Bye-bye, have fun.
Yeah, remember when I said that I was repeating some of the buffoon's lines to my dad on vacation? He was like, okay, you need to shut up. It's definitely that bit where I screamed out that I looked at my asshole in the mirror, and then my dad shit stinks up the bathroom all fucking day. I was just like... screaming that. I remember now very vividly. I was in the shower on my vacation and I was screaming the lines out. I thought it was funny. He bangs on the door and he's like, hey, whatever you're doing, shut up. That's pretty great.
That bit was probably the closest to relevance that Kathleen Turner has had also since.
Kathleen Turner. Yeah, I can't even think of anything she's been in.
What was she even in to begin with?
I don't know either. Serial Mom, I remember that.
Yes, Serial Mom.
But that was before this, I think, so...
Kathleen Turner. yeah, I have no idea what she's doing now. Who was... was it Brett Butler?
Oh, yeah, well, she was in the news for being a...
No, she's a...
destitute.
Yeah, homeless crackhead or something. But, man... Well, that was, so that's all the clips we got, except for the final one, which is also one of the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we went about 100% longer than we were planning.
Yeah, it's a full twice as
long. That's good value
for all of you. Pals. Yeah.
We like to look out for our pals. I'm sure this will actually be maybe the length of our show will be a big trending topic on Twitter.
Mm. I can't wait to see all the hashtags, pals.
Yeah.
Pals podcast.
It's probably going to light up the message board also.
However the hell Twitter works, I'm sure we're going to shoot right to the top.
Yeah. Wait till Weird Al writes us back.
Until Weird Al writes us and then maybe Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to tweet this to Adam Sandler.
Right, because why wouldn't he listen to 1 hour of 2 30-year-old assholes commenting on his entire career?
Yes. From a basement.
From the basement. Right, with a dog.
He'll probably just send us a check for millions.
He'll probably say, you know, that last movie made so much money and I bought all my co-stars' cars. Why don't you guys have a Ferrari? You get a Ferrari and you get a Ferrari. Well, I can't wait for that moment.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. So the last, our outro, as we like this, to call them, the bits that play it out, so we end on a nice musical note, is going to be a classic for anybody looking for a karaoke song to do.
Yeah, this is a personal favorite of us. It's disgusted many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually gotten to the point where the awful bar that we go to, when they advertise their karaoke, they specifically say that they have
dirty language.
Dirty songs, yeah.
Speaking of potential sponsors, that bar is called LA Bar and Grill.
Yes,
on Columbia Pike.
A fine sponsor.
Yeah, from Arlington, Virginia, where Stately P Manor is.
We should do some kind of live podcast from there.
Of course. Why wouldn't they let us?
Great.
Well, sometimes when you're the only customer there, they don't really have a choice.
Those are the best days to go.
Those are the best days on when they sit there regretting the fact that they paid $1,000 a month or a week for the NFL package.
Yeah, the Sunday ticket. We're the only ones there.
And there's two people.
That's fine, because I wouldn't be going there if it wasn't for that.
It's true. If you had to like wait for a table to open up and all that other bullshit. But
have to be around people.
Yeah. Talk to them, look at them.
Yeah, not be a shut-in.
Anyway,
this
one...
to being a shut-in as you can be while leaving the house.
Pretty much. But this one is, this next song is actually, it was just shocking to see that they made a karaoke of it. Like, somebody like, got the sheet music to it or something, or figured out how to play it on...
Yeah, and then entered it in on a Casio keyboard.
Right, and then with the lyrics...
Typed in all the lyrics.
They typed in the lyrics, but it said that when the lyrics should show up, like, even words that you wouldn't think would be curses, they, like, bleep them out. So it's like, first of all, if you're going to sing this song, who is going to be you're going to sing,
you're not going to sing it and be like, !!
Blank. Whose benefit is it to leave out the curses from the words as they come up?
It makes the person feel better.
Yeah, like, I guess.
The typist.
So they can say, I guess it comes in a package, and then they can say it's like all family, it's like radio edit or whatever.
I guess so.
But it's like to have this song, it's one of the most filthiest songs ever, one of the best. And written by Rob Spiegel, one of the best writers for the whole, for all of comedy.
So if you do go out to a karaoke bar,
please look
this
it up.
Is a, and it's, the people, the folks at LA Bar and Grill kind of expect it when they see us get up there.
At
but,
this point, they know it's coming.
But
the guy,
if we went to like a new karaoke bar, we could really blow people away.
Yeah, they wouldn't be broken in like the guys at LA Bar and Grill.
The most priceless part is just these confused and disgusted looks between, like if you watch a table... They'll just look at each other with this disgusted look.
Yeah, you'll make, like, some friends that know what's going on and didn't realize you could do karaoke to the song, that like the song.
Yeah.
There'll be a couple people that will now become, like, friends no matter what. And then there'll be people that are like, you gotta get the hell out of here. Like, what is this?
The total zilches.
Right. But it's still worth it. And I remember the guy that ran karaoke one time when we were leaving. And he was like, it's always fun when you guys come around. And I was like, that's right.
Yeah.
Because of this song.
So, all right, so thanks for listening. Another episode of Pals Podcast, Podcast for Pals. Don't forget to check our Twitter at Pals Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at apodcastforpals@gmail.com.
Yeah, that might get a little confusing is because there's an apodcastforpals@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Don't forget the indefinite article before that phrase. And then
without the indefinite article is just podcastforpals.blogspot.com.
If you do have a chance, feel free to send some hate mail to the people who own the palspodcast@gmail.com name, who apparently did one podcast and never recorded again, but did not close their Pals Podcast Gmail.
Yeah, didn't close anything, just kind of made everything more difficult for us. Not that it would really make that much of a difference.
No, not at all.
But, yay, fuck those guys.
All right, great episode.
Yeah, good episode. Thanks for listening.
Put your arms around me, baby. Can't you see I need you so? Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Play with my balls and tell me how big they are. Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off. You see that shampoo bottle now? Stick it up my ass. Push it in and out at a medium pace. Talk about your old boyfriend's dick and how big it was. Now shave off my pubes and punch me in the face. Oh, darling, make me push my dick and balls back between my legs. Call me an ugly woman and take my picture to show all the people you act well. Now pull up my scrotum and take the shampoo bottle out of my ass. Pretend I'm the pizza delivery guy and watch me whack off. Strap on a dildo and make me give you head. Tell me to slow down and do it at a medium pace. Oh, I feel so humiliated. I'm about to blow my load. You tell me it's time to make love, but now I can't cause I spewed all over myself. Then you look into my eyes and you realize how much I enjoy loving you. Oh, I'm so sorry I spunked on my stomach. Maybe next time I'll be better.